We are considering a series of studies on signs of the Lord's coming, as presented in Matthew 24-25. We have previously studied the prophetic signs in the religious and political realms. Today we shall take up the signs in the sphere of Israel, the Jewish sign. Point 1, the budding of the fig tree. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24:32-33, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." The fig tree is a well-known figure of the nation of Israel. Since the Babylonian captivity around 1610 B.C., Israel ceased as a nation of political power, though a remnant of Judah and Benjamin returned to Palestine from Babylon in the days of Ezra. They were under the rule of Gentile powers, even in the days of Christ on earth. Then, after Israel rejected Christ as their Messiah and he was crucified, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in the year 70 A.D., and the Jews were led away captive and scattered among all nations. The temple was destroyed, and the city was trodden down of the Gentiles through the centuries. This all has been in fulfillment of what the Bible said would happen, as spoken by the Lord in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. But great changes have taken place in Palestine and with Israel in our present times. As we know, there is again the nation of Israel in Palestine with political power and as a member of the United Nations. The Zionist movement began in earnest in 1881 with some 80,000 Jews back in Palestine. Though they passed through many vicissitudes and times of trouble since then, Israel proclaimed itself an independent state on May 14, 1948, with boundaries set up by the United Nations. For some 2,500 years, there had been no nation of Israel with political power. On its third anniversary in 1951, the population was some 1,200,000. In 1972, the total population of Israel's enlarged territory was given as 3,602,000, of which 452,000 was listed as non-Jews. In 1977, Israel's Jewish population was given as 2,953,000. In 1983, it was a nation of around 3.5 million Jews. Truly, the fig tree has budded and blossomed, as the Lord said it would. He also said that as in nature we know by the fig tree putting forth leaves that summer is nigh, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. What did the Lord mean by "it is near"? Just before speaking about the fig tree, he had said, "They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." This is what he referred to in saying "it is near." The coming into life again of the budding fig tree, the nation of Israel, is a sure indication and prophetic sign that the coming of the Lord in power and great glory is near at the door. There are many other scriptures that prophesy Israel will be regathered back in Palestine. Isaiah 18 indicated how a maritime sea power would shadow with wings and send vessels to help in this regathering. This has largely been fulfilled by Great Britain and the United States, nations that have greatly aided the Jews in establishing a homeland and returning to it. 2, obtaining the temple site. While the temple which the disciples showed the Lord was never been rebuilt since its destruction in the year 70 A.D., we know from scriptures such as Matthew 24:15 and Daniel 9:27 and 2 Thessalonians 2:4 that sacrifices will be offered in the temple in Jerusalem again before Christ comes to earth. Thus the temple must be rebuilt. But until June 27, 1967, the old temple site in Jerusalem was still in the hands of Jordanian Arabs. The Mosque of Omer, or the Dome of the Rock, sacred temple of Islam stands upon Mount Moriah, where the Jewish temple formerly was. When Israel captured Old Jerusalem in June 1967, they obtained access to the old wailing wall that is left from the ancient temple. Here, the chief rabbi of Israel's army led the victorious soldiers in prayer. During the first day, it was open to the public. It is reported that 200,000 Jews visited it as awed pilgrims to pray. For centuries, Orthodox Jews have prayed three times a day, "May it be thy will, O Lord our God, the God of our fathers, that the temple will be speedily built in our days. There we will serve thee with awe, as in the days of old." Historian Israel Eldad has said, as quoted in Time magazine in 1967, "We are at the stage where David was when he liberated Jerusalem. From that time until the construction of the temple by Solomon, only one generation passed. So will it be with us." When asked, "And what about that Muslim shrine?" Eldad answered, "It is, of course, an open question. Who knows? Perhaps there will be an earthquake." Defense Minister Dayan told his troops upon capturing Old Jerusalem, "We have returned to the holiest of our holy places, never to depart from it again." The Israeli conquest of June 27, 1967 was indeed a momentous step forward in fulfilling Bible prophecy as to the nation of Israel and the prospect of rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. Christians have long spoken of this expected change to take place in Jerusalem according to prophecy, and wondered how it would happen. With lightning speed it took place, and the entire city of Jerusalem with its sacred temple site is in the hands of Israel again after a lapse of nearly 1900 years. In the years that have since passed to our present time, many attempts have been made against Israel by its enemies to possess some of its land and the sacred city Jerusalem, but the nation has tenaciously held on to its possessions. Truly, we have in the foregoing another significant sign in connection with Israel of the nearness of the coming of the Lord to earth. Three, changes in the land of Palestine. In Deuteronomy 11, God told Israel of old that if they obeyed him, he would give the early and latter rain upon the land and bless them with productivity. He also warned that if they turned aside to other gods, he would shut up the heavens, that there would be no rain and the land would not yield its fruit. The latter is just what happened as they turned away from the true God. And then when Christ, the true Messiah, was crucified, the judgment of God fell later upon Israel and the land as they were scattered and the country lay desolate with little rainfall for centuries. But the records indicate that rainfall in Palestine began increasing since 1860, when the country was opened up as a homeland for the Jews in 1917. There was a great increase in rainfall. By 1928 to 29, some 437 millimeters more rain fell that year than over what was received in 1922 to 23. This increase has continued, and with irrigation projects established, desert land is blossoming, and swamps are now planted, so that already the desert is blossoming as the rose, and there are streams in the desert, as the prophet Isaiah was inspired to write, chapter 35, verses 1 and 6. The prophet Ezekiel also prophesied, "I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the night of all that has passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and re-inhabited, Ezekiel 36:33-35. These scriptures accurately ascribe the great changes that have already taken place in Palestine and are signs of what will prevail just before the Lord comes back to earth. Much more could be said along this line, but time fails for further description. The fourth point, the wealth of the Dead Sea. This famous sea, which is more than 1,300 feet below the level of the world's normal seas and oceans, is worth billions of dollars in valuable chemicals which it contains. Reader's Digest of July 1966 said in an article that a recent estimate said this sea holds everything, or holds something like 45 billion tons of valuable chemicals, such as sodium, chlorine, sulfur, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and bromide, potash, much in demand as a plant food is now being extracted in increasing quantities. In the prophecies of Isaiah as to the time when Israel shall be regathered in their land, the land shall reign as King of Kings, or the Lord shall reign as King of Kings, and the prophet says, the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto them, Isaiah 60, verse 5. Perhaps this may be a reference to the wealth of the Dead Sea that is in Israel's possession today. This may be another prophetic fulfillment in connection with the end of this age. Point 5, the lineup of the nations for and against Israel. As indicated in our previous broadcast, now that Israel is a nation again, we see the revived enmity of the old enemies of God's ancient people plainly manifested. The Arab countries in the Middle East and Russia are manifestly against Israel, according to Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38. On the other hand, the Western nations of Europe and North America are generally favorable to Israel, as Scripture indicates they will be in the end time. Surely everything is being lined up for the last acts in the times of the Gentiles that are fast coming to a close. Then the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to judge the earth and set up his glorious kingdom. Indeed, there are many signs in the realm of Israel as to the coming of the Lord. Dear friends, we are not following cunningly devised fables in pointing out to you these prophetic signs of the coming of Christ Jesus. As St. Peter assures us of this in his second epistle, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. 2 Peter 1:19. Bringing you the fourth in our series of messages on signs of the Lord's coming. Having considered signs in the religious, political, and Jewish realms, we now take up the signs in the sphere of nature and in the moral realm. Signs in the realm of nature. In answer to the disciples' question as to what would be the sign of Christ's coming and the end of the age, the Lord prophesied of signs in nature. As recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 11, Jesus said, "And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." Point 1, great earthquakes in various places. Statistics show that earthquakes have greatly increased in the past centuries, while facilities for recording earthquakes have improved much over 100 years ago. We note that only 137 earthquakes were recorded in the 14th century, 640 in the 18th century, and 2,119 in the 19th century. In our present 20th century, there have been many severe earthquakes, one after another, with increasing intensity in various parts of the globe. At least 30 quakes have occurred that took from 1,000 to 180,000 lives and caused great destruction. Three major earthquakes occurred on three widely separated continents at the same time, something never before reported. Seminologists tell us that the earth is in an almost constant state of tremor, and that earthquakes of varying intensity are occurring several times each day. Severe quakes have continued right up to our present day. Certainly, the prophetic sign of great earthquakes in diverse places is very evident in our day. Point 2. Famines. The Lord said that famines would characterize the end of the age as a sign of His coming. After the World Food Conference held in Rome, November 5 to 16, 1974, U.S. News and World Report stated that 32 countries around the globe were desperately short of food to stave off starvation for 700 million of their total population of 900 million. In 1975, it was reported that in 75% of the countries of the world, the demand for food exceeded the production, with increasing population over 6 million born each month, floods in some places, drought conditions increasing, and pestilences, the world is rapidly facing universal famine conditions. This in spite of abundance of feed grains in the U.S. In 1978 and following years, these things were carried on. In 1983, it was reported that 15 African countries face severe food shortages because of lack of rain. Countries in the South and East Africa and an arc of countries eastward from the Atlantic along the southern edge of the Sahara Desert have been hit by drought that has withered crops, killed livestock, and threatened millions of people with hunger. Some countries are in the second year of drought and out of food reserves. In some parts of southern Africa, the breadbasket for the region, the drought appears to be the worst this century. Australia also has had much drought in 1983 and fires. Revelation 6 tells us that in the coming period of tribulation, after the rapture of the true church to heaven, a measure of wheat will be sold for a penny. In Bible times, a penny or denarius was a day's wages for a laboring man, and a measure was the daily food for one person. This indicates that the time is coming when one will have to work all day to earn enough to buy sufficient wheat for his own daily need. Such will be the scarcity of food. Yes, the Lord said there would be famines in the end of the age, and we can see the conditions today that produce them. Point 3, pestilences. While there have always been some famines and pestilences in the world, they have taken place in recent years in greater intensity than ever before. Outbreaks of new pestilences and diseases have occurred, and epidemics of illnesses. England had a most severe epidemic of foot and mouth disease among cattle in 1967. The desert locust plagued over 40 countries from Africa to India, Pakistan, and Turkey in 1970. Swarms 50 miles long and 26 miles wide with 200 million locusts in a square mile were experienced with great devastation of crops. In 1973, western New South Wales, Australia, was hit by a swarm of locusts 30 miles long and 5 to 10 miles wide. In 1970, southern and midwestern U.S. was afflicted with a new strain of corn leaf blight that did much damage. Dutch elm disease has killed many large elm trees in the United States. The fire ant plague in southeastern states has defied eradication methods and is a menace to health and agriculture. And the cancer plague continues to take its increasing toll of lives in spite of all man's extensive research for a cure. In 1981, the plague of gypsy moths that have disseminated an estimated 12 million acres of forest land in the U.S. in 1 year. Point 4, changes in weather. The Lord said, great signs shall there be from heaven. Perhaps we can briefly refer to the great changes in weather conditions in the world under this item of signs in nature. In many parts of the world, the weather has greatly changed from the pattern of previous years. Meteorologists attribute this to changes in the jet streams, in the high altitudes of the atmosphere, and the position of the Pacific high. Turbulent and changed weather conditions have been experienced in Britain, Europe, and the U.S. during the past 10 or so years. In 1976 to 77, the eastern two-thirds of the U.S. experienced the coldest winter on record since the founding of the Republic 200 years ago. At the same time, the Pacific U.S. coast had prolonged dryness, shortness of water, and electrical energy. Then in 1978 and 1983, excessive rains and floods came, and turbulent weather was experienced throughout the country. In all this, God is speaking and calling men to repentance by warning signs of coming judgment. This condition of things has continued to our present time. Now, signs in the moral realm, that's the fifth sphere. The Lord said to the inquiring disciples, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He also stated, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verses 12, 37 to 39. Here we have signs given us in the moral sphere of things which will characterize the days just before the coming of the Lord to earth. Point 1, iniquity abounding. The Lord said that iniquity would abound, and that as it was in the days of Noah, so it would also be in the days of the Son of Man. The days of Noah, just before the judgment of the great universal flood, were full of violence and corruption. Every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only continually evil. Anyone acquainted even in a small measure with the happenings of our day knows that abounding iniquity, increasing violence, and vile corruption definitely and increasingly characterize our present world. The violent crime rate for 1967 was double the 1940 rate, 88% higher than the 1950 rate, and 57% above the 1960 rate. This rate of increase has continued right on. These statistics present an epidemic of crime and violence affecting every segment of society, and manifest that we're living in days akin to those of Noah's time just before the judgment of the flood. Point 2, changing standards. Secular writers today speak of sociologists observing a tidal wave of changing moral standards and attitudes that is creating widespread moral bewilderment and concern. A permissive, lawless society is developing where Bible standards of morality are abandoned. Laws against sin are changed, and immorality is permitted by the state and the church. Violence and corruption is portrayed on TV and in print. Children brought up in such a society without moral guidelines have no idea of proper concepts of right and wrong. Alcoholism has greatly increased, and drug abuse is rampant. Marriage is abandoned by many. Even elderly widows and widowers are living together without marriage. Point 3, moral traits of the last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, the Apostle Paul was inspired to give us features of the last days. He writes, "But this know, that in the last days difficult times shall be there. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, evil speakers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, profane, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, of unsubdued passions, savage, having no love for what is good, traitors, headlong, of vain pretensions, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of piety but denying the power of it. What a true picture these words of the Bible give us of the moral characteristics of our day. We see these bad moral traits everywhere today. They are so plain that they need no explanation. Surely the signs of the last days of the age of grace and God's mercy are here. In conclusion, we now draw to a close our studies on the signs of the Lord's coming and the end of the age. We have considered the prophetic signs given us in the Bible in the five realms of religion, the nations, the nation of Israel, nature, and in the moral sphere. The manifestation of these signs in the world today have been clearly noted. They all tell us that the coming of the Lord draws nigh, even at the doors. Dear listener, we would make a personal appeal to you. How do you stand in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming soon? Have you come to Him as a sinner and accepted Him in your heart as your personal Savior? If not, do so right now as you listen to this closing appeal.